Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
Keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let us bow our heads as we look to God in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that your word is truth, that we have before us not only the scriptures, but we have before us a golden opportunity to hear again what you want us to know about your will for us. And we pray, dear Lord, that we will take advantage of this, that you'll speak to our hearts, that we'll honor you in the way we listen and the way we respond. In Jesus' name, amen. The 19th century theologian, Dr. A.B. Simpson, he wrote these words, though we cannot understand it, God wants us as our Father. Let's try that again. God wants us, and as our Father, he likes us to speak to him. He is like an earthly father in that respect. The earthly father is grievously wounded by the son who is content to enjoy the gift of the father that has been given him, but who never seeks his company again until he has exhausted his supplies and needs some more. Then he says, the father likes the child to come and to speak to him. Well, this is surely one of the most wonderful things that we know about God, that the God who is self-existent, the eternal, almighty Lord God Jehovah, likes it when we come to him. And he likes to hear us because we are his children. So we read there in God's word this morning, give us this day our daily bread, and it's a simple prayer. And it's a prayer for the things that we need every single day. I remember growing up as a little boy, there was a grocery store down the street, and my dad would go there every single night. He was a breadwinner of the home. My mom didn't work in those days in the 50s and 60s. You didn't see a whole lot of that. So my dad, he took care of the finances, and I would go with my dad, probably a little guy, five. Then it went on year after year, 8 years old, nine, 10. And it was like every night, let's go down and get some goodies. He would, since we had six kids, he would pick up bread and he would pick up some milk, occasionally some candy and ice cream. But that went on every single day practically in the evening. I remember it well. A loving father daily caring for his family. So Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. And it's a simple prayer for the things we need every day. And God actually invites this type of praying. And when we understand and embrace the truth that God likes us to pray this way, then certain key biblical truths begin to emerge. When we are taught to pray, give us this day our daily bread, first it shows that God cares for our bodies. You say, well, that's a no-brainer. Well, not everybody understands that or even believes it. Many people never even think about God caring for our bodies. I think of many unbelievers, but certainly most of the believers I trust understand that God cares for our bodies. And so we must never minimize the value or the importance of the body by believing that only the soul is important. It is obvious that our culture today is doing just the opposite by minimizing the soul and the value of the soul and emphasizing the value of the body. Physical fitness, I mean, it's important. I joined a club, my wife joined a club. And that's important. We should take care of our bodies. But physical fitness and the lust of the flesh have become the consuming drive of the American culture. But there have also been those in the Christian church who have tried to minimize the importance of the body. None of this is biblical, and it contradicts the teaching of Jesus. They say, well, you should be in your Bible more and not exercise so much. Well, we could get in our Bible more, maybe if we felt better, and if we exercised, we might feel better. So Jesus spent much time healing people's diseases. We read about it and see it in the scriptures so often, and satisfying their physical hunger. Christianity does not just aim at soul salvation. Christianity aims at whole salvation, the salvation of your soul and the wholeness of your body. Both the soul and the body will one day dwell in heavenly splendor with Christ. How easy it is to forget that when we die, sure, our souls go to heaven if we're believers in Christ, if we're saved. But someday when we come out of our grave, when Christ returns, our bodies will be reunited with our souls, and they both, body and soul, will dwell in heaven forever with our glorious Savior, who even now in heaven has a body. He's fully human and he is fully divine, fully God. So when we are taught to pray by Jesus, give us this day our daily bread, it shows that God cares for our bodies. Do you believe that, dear friends? When you are sick, God still cares for your body. Do you believe that when you're discouraged and it's affected your energy level, God still cares for your body? But notice, secondly, give us this day our daily bread teaches that we should live one day at a time. One day at a time. This means that we are not to be anxious about the unknown future or to fret about it at all. We are to live in a moment-by-moment dependence upon Almighty God. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, that great theologian and commentator, he said, we must all realize our utter dependence upon God, even for our daily bread. He went on to say, if God willed it so, we should have no daily bread at all. And then he said, he could withhold the sun and the rain. We are absolutely in the hand of God, and the supreme folly is the folly of thinking that we are independent of God. We cannot live for a day without God. Give us this day our daily bread does basically mean to ask God only for what we need today. However, it would be wrong to ignore saving money for our old age with the excuse that the Lord's Prayer teaches that we are to only ask for one day's ration at a time. So I'm not going to save for old age, some people reason. Well, in our society, part of this day's ration consists in our culture of saving money, laying aside money for the future needs that we're going to have. I remember years ago when I first moved to Grand Rapids, I got into insurance. And I went to one seminary and talked to a professor about it. I had an appointment to talk about life insurance. And that meeting lasted very shortly. He said to me, I don't need your life insurance. When I die, if my 10 children will be cared for by the church, it'll be their responsibility. Now, that was a professor of a seminary saying that. Well, that's his belief, and he's trusting the Lord, but I would take issue with that and say that in our society, part of this day's ration consists in the money to be laid aside for the future needs we have, and I believe that would be scriptural too. So therefore, we are not taught to neglect our families by neglecting insurance policies, pension plans, or savings accounts. However, our hope is not in pension plans, and I think that's really what the professor was saying to me. Part of it was, dear friend, my hope is not in a pension plan, and my future does not depend on that. I'm trusting God. My hope is not in an insurance policy. Well, obviously, we are not to become so involved in these things as if our life and future depended ultimately on them. I wonder if some of us have done that, if our hope is depending upon something other than God. It shouldn't, and I hope it doesn't. Instead, our confidence and our security must only be in God. We read about it in Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. We know that. We've heard it many times, but it sure is difficult sometimes to embrace it and to really practice it and flesh it out in our living. So if you are a Christian, have you ever known God to be unfaithful to you? I haven't. He's always been faithful. Have you ever lacked the necessities of life? Have you really ever gone hungry? I mean, really hungry. Oh, yes, Pastor Tolley, I've missed a couple of meals. That's not what I'm talking about. Have you really ever been hungry because you just had no food in the cupboard? Give us this day our daily bread as a prayer for the absolute necessities of life. We are not told to pray for luxuries or superabundance. Yet we have luxuries, and some of us have superabundance. In fact, I would argue just about all of us have superabundance compared to what some third world countries' citizens experience. But we're not even promised superabundance. We're not promised that we should pray for that or for luxuries, but we are promised in the Word of God that we will have enough. And David says there in Psalm 37, verse 25, looking back in his old age, he could say, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. The promises of God never fail. The promises of God never fail. Can you tell me one promise that God hasn't kept for you? I can't do that. He is a promise-keeping God. But these promises, they refer only, as I said, to the necessities of life, and our idea of necessity is not always God's idea of necessity. But give us this day our daily bread is not simply a prayer for bread to eat. It is a prayer for all of our material needs that are necessary for living in this world. The greatest of people are dependent upon the mercy of God for their daily bread, even the President of the United States. So that is the second thing that this prayer teaches. We should live one day at a time. Are you doing that? One day at a time. Well, notice thirdly, give us this day our daily bread is also a prayer for spiritual nourishment or spiritual needs. Have you ever thought of it that way before? Give us this day our daily bread is also a prayer for our spiritual food or needs. It's a prayer that God will also feed us way down deep inside in our souls. After all, we all have a soul. We want it to be fed. We don't want it to starve. That's one reason why we're here today. As we worship God, our souls are being fed. As we meet at 4:20 for prayer, our souls will be fed. And as we read the Bible with our families and privately, our souls are being fed as Jesus opens himself up to our hearts, as the Holy Spirit does, and reveals Jesus to us, the Savior that died that we might be fed and that we might live forever. So there's only one other place in the Bible where there is a request to give us bread. And it's found in Jesus' sermon about spiritual bread in John 6, verses 32 and 35. In John 6, 32 and 35, he says it this way. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. So the Jews were thinking of physical bread, but Jesus turned them away from these physical things to himself as the one who could satisfy the far greater hunger of the soul. I remember in seminary, I had a professor, Robert Munger. He wrote a little book, My Heart, Christ Home. And that's what this feeding is. He's living in us by faith, Jesus, his spirit, pointing us to Christ, showing us the loveliness of Christ, giving us more of a desire to know Christ and to fellowship with Christ, our heart, Christ home. So what does it mean then to feed spiritually on our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Frankly, it sounds a bit strange to feed upon Christ. Well, it means quite simply that he is the source of all of our spiritual life. We will only grow spiritually as we draw close to him and learn about Christ. Unless we do this, we will starve spiritually, and we will always feel spiritually hungry. We can't take vitamins in order to feed upon Christ. We can't have any other substitute for our spiritual need. It's Christ and Christ alone who feeds us. We feed upon him. We have a relationship with him. We enjoy him. It's a tragedy, and it's tragic that so many Christians will allow the things of this world to intrude between themselves and Jesus, and therefore they go on being hungry, but they would never do that with reference to the dinner table or the refrigerator. If they had plenty of food right there in the refrigerator, anything that you wanted, I don't think you would go a day without opening that refrigerator, and yet Jesus is available. And sometimes we walk right past that place where we have our devotions. Maybe it's your office, maybe it's the patio, maybe it's your basement, and we fail Christ by neglecting the one that can feed our souls. God says that this happened repeatedly during the Old Testament period, that there was neglect. For the Bible says that the people of Israel desired things instead of God. So God sent leanness to their souls. They were very skinny spiritually, if I could say that. We read about it in Psalm 106, verses 9 through 15. Psalm 106, 9 through 15. Here's what God did. He rebuked the Red Sea and it dried up, and he led them through the depths as through a desert. He saved them from the hand of the foe, from the hand of the enemy, he redeemed them. The waters covered their adversaries, not one of them survived. Then they believed his promises and they sang his praise, but they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his counsel. In the desert, they gave in to their craving. In the wasteland, they put God to the test. So he gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease upon them. God sent leanness to their souls. What about you today? Do you feel like you're lean spiritually? Do you feel that way today? Do you feel like you're seeking things, that you're rich in things, but you're poor inside in your soul? I love the hymn, The Child of a King. Stanzas 3 and 4 go like this. I once was an outcast, a stranger on earth, a sinner by choice, and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe, and a crown. And then stanza 4, my favorite, a tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I may sing all glory to God. I'm the child of a king. These are the words of someone who has been feeding spiritually on the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice the fourth thing we see about the verse that Jesus has for us in his word: give us this day our daily bread. It's also a prayer for other people. It's a prayer for other people. It doesn't sound like a prayer for other people, but it is. Actually, it does sound like a prayer, because Jesus did not teach us to pray, give me this day my daily bread. Give us. We are not to pray selfishly. We are to pray for ourselves and for others. Give us this day our daily bread is an intercessory prayer for that neighbor or that relative. It's a prayer for others. It is more than just a prayer for their necessities of life. It is also a prayer that others might be fed spiritually by the same Christ who has fed you. If he fed you and continues to feed you, he can feed that neighbor that you want to see come to Christ. He can feed that relative that has still not come to Christ. Or if he's come to Christ, then that relative needs to keep feeding on Jesus, keep growing in his love for Jesus and his fellowship in Jesus. We ought to pray not only for that they get that car that they desperately need, but that they also feed upon Jesus spiritually, and that their hunger for Christ is met by Christ and Christ alone. Well, what does this say to us by way of closing application? First, how can I know that God is willing to answer my request for the necessities of life? How do I know that? Well, the answer is because, as I said about my own father, my human father, he provided for the needs of his children. Likewise, our heavenly Father, who is a lot more loving than any earthly father, a lot more caring, a lot more powerful, a lot more capable of caring for us than even an earthly father, our heavenly Father provides for the needs of his children. Our heavenly Father cares for those who have become his children through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read about it in Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? But a second application: God's children are invited and even urged to come to him in prayer for the necessities of life. Don't be embarrassed about it. Lord, I need to care for my family. Things are a little bit tight, in fact, really tight financially. I know I've come before, I'm coming again. He won't turn you away. Thirdly, we know that this is true, that God wants us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, because God delights to answer those who do come to him. Isn't it great when our children come to us and they ask us for something, which is often, but we know that they do need some of these things that they ask for, and it's a delight to provide it. There's almost nothing then that God won't do for us as his sons and daughters. Almost nothing. He is not harsh. He isn't stingy. He's not begrudging in his gifts. We come to a God who is loving, willing, and merciful, and he's done it for us time and time again. He is anxious to be known and loved by his children. God urges us to come. Give us this day our daily bread is a prayer that pleases God. Are you hungry for God? Then go to him. He won't turn you away. Do you need the necessities of life? Go to him. Jesus can feed your soul. He can fill you with himself. In Exodus 16, we learn that when the children of Israel, the Israelites, left Egyptian slavery, God cared for them in the desert journey to the promised land, but they weren't content. They complained. They bellyached. They were unhappy. They were even bitter at God. You know the story. They even wanted to go back to Egypt. Ah, oh, you just read that and you go, what is wrong with these people? But God heard their complaining. Wasn't right to complain. God heard them. He provided manna for them every morning for 40 years. They ate this bread from heaven, but they could not hoard it for the next day. They had to trust God every morning for manna, and God gave them what they needed one day at a time. This teaches all of us the deeper spiritual lesson that we need to begin our day with Jesus. Speak with Jesus every day, throughout the day. Think about his love for you. Marvel at his grace that is yours in Christ. The one that died on Calvary's cross as our sin substitute. The one that gave it all for us. The one that lives in heaven who's going to come back. And he'll bring with him all of those who have trusted him as Lord and Savior and will live with him forever in heaven. It will be so great, so wonderful. The word great, awesome. That's a great word and that's in the Bible. I'll use that. It will be awesome. So how about you, dear friends? Are you feeding upon Jesus? Let's close with the reading from John 6:51. John 6:51, I'll begin, and I'll also read 52 and 53. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. May God give us grateful hearts because in Christ we have life. Do you have that life? Have you repented of your sins? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? All who do will find him to be a merciful, loving Savior who provides for our necessities and for the salvation of our souls. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word, which is so clear. Thank you that time and time again we learn how wonderful and how glorious and how loving you are, dear Heavenly Father, for giving us a Savior. Oh, we're so thankful for your fatherly care for us, for our souls and for our bodies. We pray that we'll live every day in total dependence upon you, not upon the idols that we've created, as was mentioned in the prayer, not upon anybody else, but upon Jesus and Jesus alone. In his name we pray. Amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.